Thank you for that. Let's stand briefly this evening and turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And we will read verses 17 to the end of the chapter. Philippians chapter number 2. We'll start in verse number 17. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 17. Verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all men seek their own, not the things which are Christ, or Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that he had heard that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. Let's pray. Father, we pray you'd bless tonight in the few minutes we have. I pray that you would encourage us as a church family, Lord, and help us to get from this message what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, we are continuing in the book of Philippians. Philippians talks about having joy in the Lord. Tonight, we're going to look at a subject that will help us to have great joy. So we've went through chapter 2. We saw that he told us we're supposed to be a church that is like-minded. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And last week we saw we are supposed to continue on in our faith and be faithful to that which we do, our work and our witness. As we read the concluding verses in this chapter, Paul is speaking specifically about service. Serving the Lord. And he is very specific in these verses in mentioning specific people and how they served and his involvement with them in serving. A huge part in the success of any church and being effective in reaching others is the willingness and the faithfulness of the people in their church to serve. That is very, very vital. This church had that. Paul has already showed us in chapter 2 the example of the humility in Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, took upon him the form of a servant, and he served other people. Paul encourages us to be faithful in continuing to serve and be a witness to others. The joy of serving the Lord. Before we get to our text and we look at a few things, I want to speak for a few minutes. I want to talk a little bit about our church and where our church is at. The story of our church has been amazing. God has done truly miraculous things. And really, the last 2.5 years of our church have been nothing short, really, of miraculous. I have always seen it as really personally a joy, a blessing, a privilege to be a part of this church. And really, I count it a real privilege to have been here since the very first day, actually since before that, as Pastor Esposito was founding the church and visiting and getting ready and finishing up raising some money. But no matter what capacity I've ever been in this church, I have considered it a blessing. A couple years ago when Pastor was ill, what has happened since that time has really said a lot about our church. It's easy, as we mentioned this morning, we talked about having a song in our heart, having the joy of the Lord. Really, the kind of joy in the song we have in our heart is really shown during times of difficulty and stress. And really what has happened here in our church the last couple years shows really the kind of church that we have. You know, we have guest pastors come in, we'll have missionaries come in, and whenever they talk about our church and how are things going, we tell them things are going well and this is going on and that's going on. They sound amazed, like, wow, that's amazing. Now, I'm thinking on my end, like, why is that amazing? I mean, I understand it's amazing, but it's like, were you expecting me to say, you know, yep, yeah, the bottom's falling out of the thing, God fell off the throne, and, you know, things are horrible. I'm ready to divorce my wife, and all the staff are the same way, and so, but they don't mean it like that, but they're amazed that this ministry that God has started is going on. You see, what usually happens, if you don't understand, and I understand a little as I've been serving the Lord for a few years, typically when a church goes through a transition in leadership, there's a change, particularly when they lose a founding pastor that is no longer in that position. Usually, in a lot of cases, things don't go very well. And things you could have problems. I could tell you story after story, just stories I know, and horror stories. That's not our purpose tonight. You have people that there's little power plays, like, you know, well, let's do this and this and this, and people that want to change the church, and people that, you know, they have their own little agenda, and a church can lose momentum. That happens. Sometimes you see it in the change of the spirit of the church. The spirit of the church, it's a little bit different. It's not like it was before. The vision starts to go a different direction. Maybe the outreach of the church changes. But if you've been here, you know that we've had nothing of that here, not any of it. Things are going on. We still have the same spirit in our church. Our church has a unique spirit. I kind of like it. We have a unique vision that God has given us. That is still going forward. We are still reaching out to our community and reaching out to people the same way we always have. And by the way, the same way we always will. That's not changed. And it's been great. And we have the added difficulty of a building. And not just a building program. We are building it ourselves, raising the money, the whole nine yards. And sometimes that adds a little bit of difficulty to it. But we've been fine. We've had key staff members over the years they're still with us in a sense, but they're on our teams over in Southeast Asia. But things are still good. I was just thinking of this, and this is actually discouraging. We kind of have, pastorally speaking, we kind of have a younger staff. This was very depressing to me. I was thinking about it. You know, back in the day, we've always had the pastoral staff. You're not that young, though, so that's okay. It used to be Pastor Esposito, and then Brother Esposito, Brother Board, myself, we were kind of like the senior guys, and when Brother Board and Brother Esposito aren't here. I'm 53. That's young. Amen, Brother Pineda? Good, you're going to get a raise. 53, that is not old at all, and I'm like the oldest guy. Really? Add a one in front of that, and we have you. By the way, I'm also the best looking man on the staff. My wife told me that. But God's done great, great, great things here. So I was thinking about it because it goes with the message. Why? Well, spiritually speaking, I think it's because, and really, this is it, God is doing it. You know, sometimes you talk to someone, they're doing a really good work, and it's like, you know, well, we just praise the Lord's doing that. We're thinking, yeah, but tell me what you're doing. Yeah, I know God's doing that, but tell me what you're doing. Around here, it's like, I think God's just doing this thing. Okay, God's doing something wonderful. Back in the day, we used to call it, I think we need to call it, get back to calling it that. Pastor Esposito used to call it what? The favor of God. Right? Isn't that what it is? Sometimes we look around at us and it's like, listen, it's not because of the staff. It's the favor of God. God is, for some reason, chosen to do something here, and God is continuing to do something here. Now, even though I believe that, and I believe that 155%, I don't want to discount the service of God's people. You see, when God wants to do something, he has to have people he can use to do that. And I think in our church, he's found people that he can use to do his will and to do something great for him. We're not pretentious. We're not serving man. Listen, we just love the Lord, and we have good people here that want to serve God. I think we have a very good staff. They sacrifice to serve here. I'm humbled by Brother Jim's testimony. They serve together to please God. They're not trying to do it because I want a position. And by the way, you know, we're not a position type of church. We never have been. Remember one of our guys that used to go here, and he went up to Golden State, graduated, was hired at another church, and he was calling me about something years ago. He says, well, what's your position there? And then he said, well, yeah, and he hadn't been around. He goes, yeah, I understand there. You guys really don't have positions. We don't. It's just like, that's your job title. Just go do the work. We're not like, well, I'm a big shot. I get to sit up here. Listen, you want to sit up here?
Yeah.
Okay. You give me enough money, I'll let you have that seat. Okay. We're not like that. I got to be the big shot. No one's like that here. We're all just doing what we can do to serve the Lord together. We also have fantastic church members. By the way, you weren't looking for when Pastor Esposito got sick, there wasn't people saying, here's a time we can start slacking off now. Here, we can kind of change what we're doing here. That's not what happened. It's kind of like, listen, you know what that we did that Saturday? We went soul winning. We had a Super Saturday soul winning. Let's go soul winning. What did we do on Tuesday night? We had soul winning. What did you do? We had church. And we've just gone on and on and on. Why? Because you're serving the Lord. And you want to keep going what was started here many years ago by Pastor Esposito. We want to fulfill the vision that Pastor Esposito set forth from the Word of God for our church. We have great church members. You invite people to church. Yeah, I met a couple people back here today. It's like, hey, who invited you to church? They said, well, it's just a guy. He said, Danny the plumber. Okay? And I know that's what I call Danny. I say, yep, you're Danny the plumber. We have great church members. You befriend people when they come. You serve in our ministry. And so we have a great church. We're sacrificial in all we do. You've been sacrificial in your giving to get the building to where it is today. And you're sacrificial, and we will until we get that thing done. We're sacrificial with missions. We're sacrificial to the bus ministry, to the special needs, whatever it is. You want to help people. We have a great church. One thing I want, and I want to do everything we can, let's keep the church just like it is supposed to be. Let's keep the church in a position where God can continue to bless it and we can do the things that God wants us to do. We have a great church. Say, why did you talk about all that? Because that fits right in what we're going to talk about tonight. Paul is talking about serving together. We've always had that word in our giving campaigns, together. Why? Because that's how things get done. Things get done when a church does something together. Not just one or two people. Not the Pareto principle, 20%. It's the whole church doing what they're supposed to be doing together. In the verses we read, Paul is going to talk about service to the Lord. He mentions one group and two individuals. And that's who we're going to look at tonight, and we're going to see some things here that will help us to serve the Lord together. In the context of Philippians, which is joy, there is joy in serving the Lord together. Number one, I want you to see, first of all, he talks about serving with the church. Serving with the church, and that's in verse 17 and 18. In these verses, he shows two ingredients that help us or that really need to be present if we're going to serve with the church. These ingredients, if we fulfill them, produce joy, because joy is a byproduct of what we do. And in this instance, joy is a byproduct of our service to God. He talks, first of all, about the ingredient of sacrifice. Verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you. Paul saw himself here as an offering upon a certain, in a sense, altar. The altar that he saw was the sacrifice and service of their faith. Who? The church. That is what consumed him in this offering. It was their service and their sacrifice. Whenever we serve the Lord, it takes sacrifice. So many people now in Christianity, we want to do whatever we do for the Lord, but we want to do it only if we don't have to sacrifice. As long as it doesn't inconvenience me, as long as it doesn't put me out, service always puts you out. Service always causes you to have to sacrifice. If we're going to serve the Lord, it's going to take a commitment of sacrifice. I like that little phrase he uses there. Upon the service of your faith. In other words, Paul saw service connected to faith. Service is a spiritual thing. So often we see spiritual things such as, you know, getting down and spending time reading and studying my Bible and praying and doing things like that. Paul's reminding them that, listen, any service you do is also related to your faith. It is also a work of faith, and it is a spiritual matter. You ladies in the nursery, when you're changing a diaper, you don't see that as spiritual. Well, actually, that's probably not very spiritual. But if you're doing it in service for the Lord, that's a spiritual activity. You bus drivers, as long as you don't run anybody over or wreck our buses, that is a spiritual service. You're out here early and you're driving that bus, and then when we're done and we're all thinking what's for lunch, you have to go drop those wonderful, well-behaved children off. That's spiritual service. If you come here and volunteer, whatever it is, to clean or cook or you name it, your service is spiritual, and that is a sacrifice. We're never going to go anywhere unless we sacrifice. Why is our church a great church? I'll tell you why. We have people that sacrifice to serve, and thank you for that. He also talks in verse 18 about the ingredients of shared joy. First, he talked about sacrificial joy and shared joy. He goes, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. See, the joy that Paul had because of the sacrifice of their faith and the sacrifice of their service wasn't just a joy he saw as really a spiritual father watching the church he saw. He said they rejoice also. And they rejoice in what he does. And he rejoices in what they do. And they rejoice together in what God is doing. Joyful. Joyful. There is a joy in serving with others in the church. There's just a joy. I like these phrases. We've said them here before. Every saint is a servant. Okay? People join the church. We don't have a package for you. We have a membership bag, and it has stuff in it, but what's my membership package? You don't get one. Remember when Luke was at our house and he joined the church? Says, now listen, I've heard about tithing. I've been in the military. 10%. Can I get a military discount? Maybe we'll go down to 7%. I'm like, no, you're in the military. You get a military bump up. It's 15%. Okay, sorry about that. Say, man, I'm a member. What do I get? You know what you get? You get to serve. You get to help bear the burden of the church. And by the way, his burden isn't hard. It's a blessing. When you serve, the joy of helping people and the joy is shared amongst the members of the church. Every saint, a servant. Every member, a minister. Every Christian, a contributor. Oh, let's serve the Lord together in the church. That's where joy comes from. But also, he talks in the next verses about serving with his convert. His convert. Verse 19, he says, but I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state. Paul is saying, I'm going to send Timothy. I hope to trust him. I trust to send him later on so he can come check up on you. And he can come back and give me a firsthand report of what is going on there. Who? And he's going to talk a little bit about Timothy here. Who was Timothy? Timothy was his convert in his faith. In the faith. He was someone that Paul had won and discipled in the Lord. He had trained him. And as he talks about sending him to the church, he talks a little bit about Timothy, and he gives us qualities here of serving. that we see in Timothy. And these are good qualities we ought to have if we're going to serve the Lord. Look at verse 20. He talks about the quality of being like-minded. Verse 20, for I have no man like-minded. Think about this. Paul, the apostle, church planner, missionary, in and out of trouble, going all these places trying to win people to the Lord. He says, Timothy has my mind. He knows exactly what I'm doing. And Paul's mind, hopefully, is the mind of Christ, of course. But he said, he knows exactly. We're on the same page when it comes to working for the Lord. He was like-minded. We talked about that earlier in chapter 2, how God wants our church to have be like-minded. He wants us to be in unity. All the different things we have going on here, can I just tell you something? We all need to be like-minded. Not all the ministries are the same, but we're all on the same team. Every ministry is important, and it must work together. You have different people that come into the church, different needs, different age groups, different nationalities, different languages, and there's got to be a place for all of them in the church, and you have all these different ministries, but let me just tell you something, they're all important. Let us never get this thing, well, my ministry is more important than yours, or this ministry is more important than that, or that ministry is more important than that. Can I just tell you something? They're all important. Now, I understand when you work in a ministry, you know, that's kind of on your heart, but I just tell you something, we need to work together. That's unity. We need to have the same. Look, at we're all going the same direction. You look at any kind of athletic endeavor. You look at basketball now, the playoffs are going on. There's different position. The point guard has the ball. The other guard is supposed to be a shooting guard. He's the guy that's supposed to score more. Then you have they call power forward. Well, he's more of a guy that maybe does the dirty work, plays defense, and he gets the rebounds. And then you have what they call a small forward. He's a guy that maybe he's a little more of a scorer. And then you have the center. He's the big guy, and hopefully he has skill, okay? But, you know, he can score a little bit, and he can play defense. Listen, when we used to watch the Lakers back in the day with Shaquille, you didn't want him dribbling the ball up the court, okay? That's not his job. He's the big guy. Let him get down low. You dribble the ball up the court. He'll run over six people, and he'll score, okay? But everybody has their position. You have guys that come off the bench. Their names aren't as well known, but they have their job also. And it all has to work together. Together. That's how the church is. We have all these different ministries. We all have to be on the same page. Yes, we may not do the exact same thing in our ministry as other ministries, but we better all be like-minded, and we better all work together, because we all have the same vision. We all have the same purpose. Remember, we talked a few weeks ago about spiritual math when it comes to unity. Satan divides and subtracts. God adds and multiplies. Satan's about losing. God's about winning. God's about adding. And so we need to be careful. He had the quality of being like-minded. Also, he had the quality of compassion. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Timothy, maybe it was just inbred in him. That was his personality. Or maybe he picked it up from Paul, this thing about having compassion, this thing about caring for people. He could send Timothy over there because he knew Timothy genuinely cared for the people. May we never forget that in our church. Wherever we're serving, you know what we need to do? We need to care about people. You say, well, that's why I do it in the first place. But can I just tell you something? Brother Pichardo has been telling me this. People can be frustrating. He hasn't been telling me. I just thought I'd blame it on him. The same people, you work with people, they can be a blessing, but sometimes it can be a little bit of not a burden, that's a strong word, but it can be frustrating sometimes, right? Right? Yeah. But you know what? We can't see it like that. Even when people can be frustrating, we got to look at them and say, there's something going on in their life. They need some help. What is happening? What is going on here? But if we're not careful, we get cynical about people. That's just how people are. Now, they all love the devil out there. No one really loves God. Okay, well, that's fine. But when they come to church, why don't we help them learn how to love God? Let's have compassion on people. Let's genuinely care. By the way, if we're not doing it out of a heart of compassion, our heart will get hard. We will get irritated at the things that happen. And he said, you know, Timothy naturally will care for your state. He's concerned about you. May we be concerned about people too. Then we see the quality of pursuit in verse 21. He says, for all men seek their own, and not the things which are Christ Jesus. You know what the curse of the in our age when it comes to Christianity is? Commitment. People start committed to anything. And particularly to the church. Yeah, I'll go to church and I'll go on Sunday morning, and as long as I get to hear what I want to hear and I see what I want to see, and you don't push me too far and give me a little something that you definitely don't step on my toes with anything, and I'll be all right. Can I just tell you something? That's no commitment. And that's not biblical. Okay, we need a little bit of commitment. We ought to pursue Jesus Christ, not just pursuing our own things. True service is total service. True commitment is total commitment. The reason we work and help others starts with a love for Christ. And we better have that love for Christ, or else we cannot have a true love for others. Because that'll kind of get cold. But we better pursue Him. Next, he talks about the quality of loyalty. Verses 22 to 24. He says, but ye know the proof of him. In other words, Timothy had shown himself. He had proved himself. That as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also shall come shortly. He says, listen, he has served with me. He has been faithful to me. He has literally treated me as a father. By the way, if he was looking for an opportunity to bail out on Paul, he had all kinds of opportunities. Paul was in jail. Paul was here and there, and Timothy could have bailed out and done his own thing. But Timothy was loyal. Loyal. May we be loyal one to another. Maybe we be loyal to this church. Yes, this church isn't perfect, but let's stay with it. Let's be loyal to our Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a story about two men. One man was in the army, and he was with one of his army buddies, and he had a girlfriend that he was committed to, and he told his buddy, he goes, now listen, he goes, but I sneak out on her and I'll date other girls. He goes, but I never do it within 50 miles of where we live. And the other guy said, oh, so your loyalty only goes 50 miles, right? How far does our loyalty go? Well, only to a certain. It amazes me how people will bail out on a church, they'll bail out on an individual, they'll bail out on a friend over one small thing, some small problem. Doesn't loyalty demand we try to work that out? Doesn't loyalty demand that, you know what, none of us are perfect, maybe that one little thing, they're just having a bad day? Seems like we're always looking for something, aren't we? We get upset, why don't we just back away for a few minutes when we're upset? And let's give each other the benefit of the doubt. Loyalty. This loyalty leads to more disloyalty, and it leads to disunity. I heard a story one time. I was listening to I got these messages from some conference, and these pastors were talking, and one guy was talking to, he was talking about a specific subject in the church, and he got up and started telling his story. It was pretty remarkable. He said, you know, he goes, I had an assistant pastor in the church, and over the course of a month, I noticed he was acting a little bit different. And I saw him, you know, he talked to different members, and I just didn't know what was going on. He said, but I remember one specific Sunday, as I had started the service, I saw him walking up down the aisles, and he was talking to people. He'd go from this person to that person to this person to that person. What he didn't know is he was going to these people saying when a certain thing happened in the service, these people were going to get up and walk out of the church. He was splitting the church. And he was going with them saying, okay, we're going to do it. You ready? 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 And right in the middle of the service, they got up, walked out, split the church. That's not the bad part. The bad part it was the pastor's brother. Can you imagine that? What kind of nonsense is that? But, you know, things like that happen when small little things are not dealt with. There's a small little irritation with something, you know, and we don't deal with it as brothers and sisters in Christ. We can be disloyal one to another instead of working it out like we should. So he talked about Timothy. Then lastly, he talked about number three, serving with the courier. What is a courier? That was Epaphroditus, verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother, See, Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. Epaphroditus was a brother in the faith. What had happened is the Philippian church had sent Epaphroditus with a financial offering to help Paul as he was in jail. And then he stayed there for a while to help minister to Paul's needs there. And so he's going to send Epaphroditus back. But as we look in the verses, as he talks about Epaphroditus, we see different positions, relationships that we have when we serve one with another in the church. Look at verse 25. He served as a companion. Yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor. Companion doesn't just mean friend. It's attached to the work in our labor. In other words, they were fellow laborers, not just buddies hanging out eating pizza together, although there's nothing wrong with hanging out and eating pizza. Amen. Okay? But it was more than that. It was deeper than that. They had a companionship that was based on, that was close because they worked together. There was a closeness there. Some of the best friends you'll ever have are people you serve with in the ministry. When I was in Bible college, I went to a church that was running at that time about 20,000 and a college of about 2,500 to 3,000, somewhere in that range. So it would be easy to get lost in a crowd like that. But I had a band of good friends when I was in Bible college. You know who they all were, Brother Bichardo? They were all guys that were in my bus division, Division II. When we say that, put your hand over your heart, okay? Division II, 97-7, that was my bus route. Brings tears to my eyes to this day. But we had our little division. We were all up in the same area. We'd drive up together on Saturday, and we'd all visit our bus routes, and we would go back, and we'd run our buses on Sunday morning, and then we were all on the night bus together, and we you know, prayer meeting together, all the whole nine yards. Listen, those were the guys that I was closest to. One of them, our division leader, was Pastor Grandy. We were close. We were friends. Why? It was more than just a friendship. It was a companionship that was based on the fact that we worked together. Some of the closest friends you have are people that you'll serve with in the ministry. Companions. But also he served as a soldier and fellow soldier. That means they didn't just work alongside each other. They fought alongside each other. Now, they didn't fight with each other, okay? They fought spiritual battles together. There's nothing closer than going through a tough spiritual time and you have a friend you can go to, someone you serve with, and say, let's pray together about this. Spiritual battle. Let's work together on this. Or something's not going well and you put more effort into it and you work. Fellow soldiers, serving together, fighting together. I want you to see also that he was a deliverer. But your messenger and he that delivered to my wants. He was specifically sent in the first place to deliver to him a love offering and deliver what was necessary to help him as he was in jail. Now, let me take a little license here. We're all deliverers also. We work together to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ to this world. Greatest thing you can do. Listen, there's something about being out here soul winning and going soul winning with people in the church. You'll develop a closeness there. You're out reaching people with the gospel. You're out trying to get the good news out. God has called us to deliver the message. And our mission field starts with the next unsaved person that you meet. They're your mission field. Okay? I like the little sign out here. Now, we put it out here, but one thing that'll be nice, the new building will actually have an exit that everybody uses, okay? This is our foyer area here, but no one goes out there because we don't park out there. We go out the other ways. But if you did go out there, you would see you are now entering the mission field. Okay, now I understand the worldwide missions. But for us that are not called or sent to worldwide missions, our mission field starts right outside that door. We're to deliver the good message. The good news, the message. Do it as you go about your day. As I mentioned many times, I walk around the block, but I always pass out tracts and invite people, and I meet people as I'm going out and about. They walk by me. Now, a lot of them, they try to have their earplugs, and they ignore you and that type of thing. Hey, how are you doing? It's like, ah, they walk by you like, guess he's having a bad day, right? But there are some of them, you know, you can talk to and give them invitations and maybe even witness to them. I've done that. But always, everywhere we're at, come out on Tuesday nights. Summer Saturation, by the way, pretty excited about this. Right around the corner. We're going to have a great Tuesday night with the messenger. And then the last thing here, he served as a sacrifice. If you look at the verses there, he got sick in the doing of his duty there, and really he was sick unto death. Now, I'm not saying, you know, don't take me out of context here. I got to work ourselves to death. I'm not saying that, okay? Because I know that if you're dead, you're not doing very much for the Lord, okay? You're dead, okay? But I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that just happened in the course of his willing to be being willing to sacrifice and take this job on to go help Paul and be sent. And as I already mentioned, serving the Lord is a time where we sacrifice. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying we have a great church because we've always served together. We get it. This isn't just a place where we come, as they say, you sit, soak, and sour. That's not who we are. We've never been like that. And I'll tell you, if you've not got involved, the greatest joy you can have is get involved with what's going on here. Let's start out with being involved in inviting people to church and going out and helping us share the faith. But find your place in this church. You see, when you come into a church, particularly a church of our size, a little bit of a bigger church, if you don't get involved with things like that, you're going to have a hard time getting to know people. But boy, once you come in and you start going to Sunday school class, you start getting involved, man, you start meeting more people and you're serving the Lord together. Let me just tell you, there's a great, great joy there. The joy of serving the Lord. I'll mention this and I'm done. The first 6 months I was saved, I was in church serving the Lord. I got into church. It was brand new for me. And so I was behind the curve. I hadn't learned anything. So I was in every church service. I was reading my Bible, reading books, studying, because I had a lot of catching up to do. I didn't know the basics about anything. And after about 6 months of just soaking it in and reading my Bible and really starting to understand and learn a lot, you know, our Pastor Black got up and said, listen, and he wasn't talking specifically to me. He was just preaching. He said, some of you have been around here for a while. You've been Christians. You've been growing in your faith. It's time for you to get out and start serving. And I'm like, I'm in. And I jumped in, you know, both feet. 5-year-old Sunday school. I did the tape ministry. Started going to the rest home. All those things. Now, I was single and I was young and I could do a lot. But you know what? The joy I had those first 6 months was tremendous. But the joy I had after that was even more tremendous. Why? Because now I was meeting more people. I was helping people. And I was serving the Lord. Don't miss the joy of serving the Lord and serving the Lord together with your fellow members in your church. Let's all stand this evening.